what you're looking for. Peace be upon his descendants in the South, Sahaba, who are the stars of guidance in the propagators of the Quran, and also upon the believers who are their followers in faith. Sahaba, companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the link between us and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we try to question Sahaba Ikram, then we are actually questioning the Quran Kareem. Because Sahaba Ikram transmitted the Quran to us. Sahaba Ikram transmitted laws of Islam to us. Sahaba Ikram transmitted ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us. Every action of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram saw it, recorded it, transmitted it to us. So if we try to say anything or try to criticize Sahaba, then we are actually saying, and we are trying to question the dignity, honor, status, position of their narrations, of their transmissions, and the whole edifice of deed will fall down. Sahaba were very special, and many qualities we have mentioned so far. Last time we explained that Sahaba had one unique quality, that if they sinned, then they went themselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Oh Rasulullah, we have sinned, or I have sinned, punish me." Compare their action to our action. Today we sin openly, we sin in public, and we do think nothing of it. Some of us even sin and we don't even realize that sin is sin. That is why we do not have the opportunity of repenting and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba Ikram had those qualities. Another outstanding quality of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, you must listen to this one very carefully. Remember, when Islam was rising, then the Quraysh, then the Meccans, the Mushriks, the Kuffar, they were against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the handful of Muslims. And those people even fought battles against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. And those people should drink alcohol, should womanize, should go around the tawaf in very unique fashions, and do all sorts of things. But no sooner Islam came to them, their lives changed. No sooner Allah Azza wa Jal gave them hidayat, their whole outlook of life changed. They were involved in shirk, kufr, and they were involved directly or indirectly in helping the people to harass the Muslims, in helping the people to beat up, hurt, injure Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. They were fighting against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tooth and nail. They were fighting against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all their might. They were doing things against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Islam came to them, then the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered their heart, then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered their heart, then they superseded their bad actions. They did such actions which, when you look at their bad actions, you say, no, don't worry about those bad actions. What they did for Islam and what they did for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they did in the way of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot even match that. You will understand by the way of example. For example, if you read the history of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that what he did before becoming a Muslim and then what he did after accepting Islam, then you will see there is a vast difference. If you place on one side of the scale what he did before accepting Islam, and then you place on the other side or what he did after accepting Islam, then you realize that this is outweighing it, those other deeds by far, those other actions by far. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, you and I know what he did in Uhud. But if you look at the rest of his life when he accepted Islam, and during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he was one of the two lieutenants, commander-in-chief in the battlefront, spreading Islam. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he earned the title of Sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Saifullah. But another example, Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala. Wahshi was a slave of Hidda. Hidda was the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala. Hidda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I say radiallahu ta'ala anhu, although the incident that I'm going to narrate was before their time, before they accepted Islam. But because they accepted Islam, then I won't say Hidda and leave it. I won't say Abu Sufyan and leave it. I won't say Washi and leave it. Allah is pleased with them, we must be pleased with them. Who are we to be displeased? Hidda radiallahu ta'ala anha told Washi that her uncle and her relatives have been slain in Uhud, in Badr at least, not in Uhud. And Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, who is the one responsible. And Washi was a javelin thrower, a spear thrower, javelin thrower. She said that if you kill him, then you will get freedom. It is a long story. I will narrate it inshallah next Tuesday also. Washi did it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. Conquest of Mecca took place where she came before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept Islam. Various Quranic ayat were revealed. Hazrat Washi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was brought before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accepted Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Washi that when I look at you, I think of my uncle. That you should, and your Islam is accepted, you go to Jannah, Allah is pleased with you, I am pleased with you, but when I look at you, I think of what you did to my uncle. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Washi was worried that on the day of judgment, if I arrive, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this to me on the Maidan al-Hashr, on the plains of Arafat, on the plains of judgment, then what I will do? Washi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a Musalma ibn Kazzab, a false prophet, an imposter. Washi went in that war there, fighting against that false prophet. And Washi killed him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tafsir ibn Kathir reports, came into his dream and said, Washi, I'm happy with you today. So if you look at the Sahaba's lives, before they accepted of Islam and after they accepted of Islam, there's vast difference. That is why we say, hold our tongue concerning the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. Inshallah, I will continue from there. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tonight is our seventh lesson of Tafsir, and I, as promised, that we will start with Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is a Makki Surah. Now this is an advantage for us now. You and I know when I say it's a Makki Surah, what it refers to, because I've already explained. And a discussion comes about which was the first Surah to come down, whether it was Iqra bismi Rabbika or Surah Fatiha. So the scholars say that definitely Iqra bismi Rabbika was the first ayat to come down. You know when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave, Angel Jibreel came to him, embraced him, and told him to read. He said, "Wama ana bikarin, I cannot read." Then he embraced him again, then embraced him again, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to read. After Jibreel alayhi salam should retain, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should read. So the ayat of Surah Alaq, Iqra, these are the first ayat. But the first complete surah to come down, the first complete surah to come down was Surah Fatiha. The first ayat of the Iqra, but the first complete whole surah in entirety who come down was Surah Fatiha. And the report says that after Iqra, Surah Fatiha came down. The whole of Surah Fatiha came down. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and told her that this has happened and I hear strange voices and I become astonished. I hear these voices calling me from behind, saying, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. When I look around, I see nothing. When I look this side, from the other direction comes, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha listened. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha told Hazrat Abu Bakr, take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to my cousin Warqa ibn Nawfal. Warqa ibn Nawfal is a scholar, he's a scribe, he's a scholar of the Christian faith. He knows this Christian literature and he knows the Christian books. Go take him there. Point here I want to make is very clear that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was already Muslim. After the first ayat, Iqra, when Surah Fatiha came, she was already Muslim. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha was already Muslim that day. Before any other ayat we come, when Surah Fatiha came, he was already Muslim. Third point. In most history textbooks, you will read that Hazrat Khadija, she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Warqa ibn Nawfal. But our research is showing the authenticity that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha told Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Warqa ibn Nawfal. This proves one thing that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was pious, she was righteous, she was pure wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was not a woman going outside the house. Good women stay in their houses, pious women stay in their houses, righteous women stay in their houses. The place for the woman in Islam is the house. The place for the woman is there, not in the bazaar, not in any other place, showing her body and showing her contours and displaying herself. Here you can see, Warqa ibn Nawfal, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken there by Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. They went to Warqa ibn Nawfal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated everything what transpired. Warqa ibn Nawfal, before going there, Hazrat Khadija told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that do not be afraid. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was astonished. And at times it is recorded in the hadith that I should fear my life. Hazrat Khadija, his beloved wife, radiallahu ta'ala, said, do not be afraid. Because you have got certain qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not destroy you. And she enumerated the qualities. In Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, those qualities are enumerated and given in detail. I would like to mention here a few of those qualities. She said that every time you say the truth, number one. And then she said that you are extremely hospitable. She said, thirdly, that you help the poor and the widows. And you are a person people keep their trust and their belongings by you, and you are trustworthy. And you are honest, you do not deceive. And she says that when even an enemy comes to you, you are extremely hospitable. And she says that you are a person when two brothers are fighting, two families are fighting, two tribes are fighting, you make silah rahmi, that you patch up things. And these are the qualities Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is narrating about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each quality which I have mentioned now requires a discussion on its own. For example, a simple thing like this, that to make up between two Muslim brothers, to make up between two factions or two parties or two brothers, and in our societies and our localities are torn today. And we who can do something about it, sometimes we sit back and we relax and we do nothing about it. Whereas we should go down there and try to help them. And when two Muslim brothers are trying to fight or are going to fight, it's our duty to see that they do not fight, that they do not quarrel. You don't go there and start adding fuel to the fire. You don't go there and start taking one word and twisting it and trying to other chap know he don't like you and start causing a fight. If you cannot do anything good, you rather stay away from the whole matter. The other point is very simple, that when a person comes to your house, then we should not feel that he has come to eat my property. He has come to eat my food. and he's come, oh, that today if I have some food in my house and one person unexpectedly comes away, then we must not calculate my prayer. I've got two plates of food, and if he comes in there, he'll take one plate away. Remember, Sharia does not work like that, Islam does not work like that, Allah's law does not work like that. Contrary to that, Sharia says, Islam teaches us that if you have an unexpected guest, if you have someone coming to your house and eating at your house, there is barakah in your house, there is no shortfall in your house. You may feel that he's eating, but in reality he's not eating, you are feeding him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your good actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feed you. And to say the truth always, and this is an outstanding quality of every Nabi, of every good Muslim also, to say the truth. And to keep the property of others, keep the money of others in trust, and to repay it whenever the person asks. All these I told you are important things, and we should abide these qualities in us. We should adopt these qualities in us. They went to Warqa ibn Nawfal. Warqa ibn Nawfal heard the whole story and said that this is the very same Namus angel which should come to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. That very same angel is coming to you now. Warqa ibn Nawfal was educated in the scriptures. He told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that that is the very same angel which came to Musa alayhi salam is now coming to you. Do not be afraid. Now the question here arises, and the objection also comes here. And the Christians capitalize on this. They say, see, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Warqa ibn Nawfal. And when he was also about, according to one narration, 9 years old, according to one narration, 11 years old, he went with his uncle Abu Talib, he went on a journey to Syria, and there he met one Christian monk called Buhayra. They say, see, he's going to all these Christian people to learn. He's going to all these people, and that is where he learned about Islam. Those people taught him about Islam. So first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this and says he is ummi, that he is not a one who has been educated or is untutored, is unlettered. Secondly, that short meeting of 5-10 minutes, how can you learn 30 paras like that? I was going to Buhayra there in Syria, Buhayra called them to gave them a feast, and there was a meeting, a very short meeting, and he instructed his uncle Abu Talib to take him back quickly, the Jews will harm him. In that half an hour, 20 minutes meeting, what he Buhayra can teach Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to teach the world, has come to guide the world, has come with a message. He has not come to learn from anybody. Then, see, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is having a condition, what we call a kafiyat. There's something happening to him. So he goes to a person who can read, who knows about the scriptures and who can tell him about this. And he's going there so the person can tell him some consoling remarks, can tell him something which will help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, a person who lost his father. For example, just take an example. If my father passes away and I am grieving and I am sorrowful, then there is a certain condition over me. That condition you cannot understand. I can make you, I can express it to you, but you will never be able to understand it until that condition comes up. Then if I go to some person and I tell the person, listen, my father has passed away, then that person says we have sabr, and then he gives me a small discussion on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he wants us, he takes us away. Then I feel consoled a little bit, I feel happier. The person who is consoling me need not be superior to me. The person who is consoling me need not be more knowledgeable than me. The person who is consoling me need not be superior than me in knowledge, in piety, in anything. He can be a youngster, he can be a smart person. But because he's saying me these things, it will help me, it will console me. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to Warqa ibn Nawfal doesn't mean Warqa ibn Nawfal is superior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by any stretch of imagination. Then, to answer further, in the Bible itself, in the book of Jonah, it is stated that Jesus, as they say, Jesus went to a person to get consolation and to be consoled. The way Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Surah Fatiha said that this is such a surah that has never come down before. You and I know that there were many kitabs revealed, some small, some big, approximately 104 small ones, which we call sahifas, and 4 big ones. Zabur, Injil, Torah. Ijil to Isa alayhi salam, Torah to Musa alayhi salam, Zabur to Dawood alayhi salam, Quran al-Karim to Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that this surah, surah Fatiha, is not found in the Zabur, is not found in the Ijil, it is not found in the Torah, and it is found in our kitab. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says that of all the 104 kitabs revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have been summarized in the four kitabs. And of all these four kitabs, the Torah, the Zabur, and the Injil have come into the Quran al-Karim. I'm not talking about the interpolated versions which are available now. I'm talking about those pure ones. The teaching, pure teaching of the Injil, Zabur, and Torah have come into the Quran al-Karim. And the Quran al-Karim has been summarized and brought into Surah Fatiha. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, in the light of the ahadith, goes on to further to say that the whole of Surah Fatiha comes into Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and the whole of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim comes into Bismi, and the whole of Bismi comes into Ba, and the whole of Ba comes into the dot of the Ba. And the reason is given as a rider that the dot of the Ba is not divisible and it is indivisible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, He is indivisible, and everything has to be going back to Him. Go back to Tawheed. Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani, Jumadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says the very same thing, and he says that the whole of the Quran al-Karim has got six basic topics. The subject matter of the Quran al-Karim has got six basic things. Firstly, Tawheed. Secondly, Risalat. Thirdly, laws, rules, regulations. Fourthly, about Qiyamat. Fifthly, about those who believed the message brought by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And then sixthly, those who rejected the message brought by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In the sixth one, the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, the Zoroastrians, everybody will fall into idol worshippers, everybody. Now, any ayat of the Quran al-Karim will fall into one of these six. It will be either concerning Tawheed, Risalat, laws, rules, regulations, either concerning Qiyamah, those who accept, or those who reject. And these six types, or the six groupings, are available in Surah Fatiha. If you review Surah Fatiha in detail, you will see how these six topics are mentioned in Surah Fatiha. The whole of the Quran al-Karim deals with six topics. These six topics are dealt with in Surah Fatiha, and these six topics are in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim also. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the whole of the Quran al-Karim, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with Alhamd, is because the whole of the Quran al-Karim can be divided into four places where there are Al-Hamd, where surah starts with Al-Hamd. For example, first one from Al-Hamd to Surah Ma'idah. The second place from Surah Al-An'am to Bani Israel. Third, from Surah Kahf to Surah Al-Ahzab. And the fourth one, Surah Sabha, till the end. The first division deals with creation. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sky, the sun, the moon, us, human beings, birds, how, when, why, all us. And in the second division, concerning how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintains, sustains the universe, the creation, His quality of Rabubiyat, Rab. And the third division dealing with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik of everything. He is the only one who is Malik. Is the owner of everything. And the fourth division dealing with the Qiyamah. So that is why these divisions come about. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning Surah Fatiha, he stated to the Sahabi, he told one Sahabi that, shall I tell you of a Surah that if you learn it and you will memorize it, then you will be memorizing what was not in the Quran, what was not in the Injil, the Torah, and the Zabur, and the moon, the topic, and the subject matter is so powerful that if you know it and if you memorize it, then inshallah you will be able to have that knowledge which was in those previous kitabs. Sahabi asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is that surah? It was Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. What is that surah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holding his head, taking outside the masjid while talking to him, told us, this is surah Fatiha, and you should learn it, and you should memorize. Now surah Fatiha has got various names, and there are 25 words in surah Fatiha, and 113 letters in surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha has got many names. For example, Fatihatul Kitab. Why Fatihatul Kitab? Because this is where Fataha in Arabic means to start, to begin, to open. So this is called Surah Fatiha. Why? Because the whole Kitab is getting opened from this Surah. The whole Kitab is starting from this Surah. And the problems and the difficulties of ours have been opened now, have been solved now. Why? Because Surah Fatiha will show us what to do, where to do, how to do, and why to do. And it will show us that this is a living constitution for us to follow. Then, this Surah also, they say it is Surah Ta'alim. Why? Because in this Surah, you will come across how to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to make, for example, when you go to a person to buy something even, let alone for collection or donation or anything, then there is a special method you adopt. Yeah, we are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is a special method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this method. That first of all, we recognize His greatness. We say that He is the owner of everything, that He is the Malik of everything. And we say that He is the only one to plead to, and He is the only one who can help us, and He is all-powerful, and He is everywhere, He is omnipresent, and He can do whatever He wants to, and He can do when He wants to. And then we put our case forward that ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, that guide us to the straight path. And then He teaches us what to ask for. The path, and which path to ask for also. That path which the Nabis followed, which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam followed, which the Siddiqeen followed, and all these pious ones followed, so that we also, by asking for that, inshallah, we also can be successful. Another name for this, for the Quran, is Fatihatul Quran. Why? Because this is where the Quran al-Karim starts, this is where the Quran al-Karim opens. And this is where the Quran al-Karim begins from. Another name for this is Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, the Fatiha, Surah Fatiha. Why the mother of the book? It is the core of the book. In Arabic means mother, core. For example, we will call my mother And why? Because from the mother, the child comes. From the mother, the offspring comes. Like for example, Makkah, Mukarramah, and especially where the Kaaba is, we call that Ummul Ard in Arabic. Why? Because we believe that the first portion to get created on the whole world was the Kaaba. And when the Kaaba, the land was created from there, and the land spread from there. So the mother of the earth is that place. But from there, the whole earth came about. And the whole earth came into existence. That is why we say, and we refer to that place as Ummul Ard. And the Surah Fatiha, Ummul Kitab, because everything which is in the Quran al-Karim is in Surah Fatiha. Every topic discussed in the Quran al-Karim is in Surah Fatiha. Every guideline has been indicated in Surah Fatiha. And the details are in the Quran al-Karim. The final points in the Quran al-Karim, but the indications, the isharas, are all in the Surah Fatiha for us to see and for us to study and for us to comprehend. And it's so important, Kitab, that we have to recite it in every namaz, in every rakat. The surah is also called Suratul Kanz. It is a surah of treasure. Two, three reasons. One is, according to what narration, that below the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a great treasury. And from this treasury, Suratul Fatiha has come. Secondly, that this is a treasury for us to ponder over, for us to search, and for us to get our guidance. Treasury, when you think of monetary wealth, that it will benefit me in this world, and I'll become a wealthy person, and so on. This is a surah which is called Surah of the Treasury. Why? Because it will benefit us in all the worlds. And benefit us so that we can become successful and we can become good. And we will be able to be prosperous. So So this is why it is called Suratul Qasas. As I told you that this is called Talibul Masla. Why? Because it teaches us how to get to plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also called Surah Shafia or Mushaffa. It is a surah wherein you get all types of cures. Inshallah, we'll continue from here that how this surah can cure us spiritually, materialistically, in all walks of life. Inshallah. Then we will continue from